Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Hello, everyone. Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings is with us via Skype to discuss a topic that seems to be an oxymoron to me. He's calling this program Christian Warfare. And when I read that, I thought, warfare? Aren't we Christians supposed to not fight battles, but instead allow Christ to do our fighting for us? What's going on? Well, let's find out. Dr. Jennings, what do we need to know?
Charles, with your opening, I guess you never as a child sang Onward Christian Soldiers.
Yes, I did. It made me wonder at that time. It made me wonder, how can we be Christians and go off to war? What's that mean to do that?
From the NIV, Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." And I thought about that as I read that. What is this? Forceful people lay hold of the kingdom of God? Yeah. Can God's kingdom be obtained by force and might and power? Didn't God previously say, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord?
Right.
So I looked in the Good News translation of the same verse, and it says, from the time John preached his message until this very day, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violent attacks and violent men try to seize it. Oh, that actually makes more sense. So Jesus was saying, since John announced my mission, violent men have been attacking and trying to take control of my mission and my ministry. That's what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of love and truth and liberty. It's built upon the design protocols that God created reality to operate upon, and it cannot be advanced through might, power, force, coercion, external controls, imposed laws, inflicted punishments. You can't get love, trust, loyalty by making up rules and threatening to punish people who won't give it to you. That's why God cannot win people by threatening to torture and kill those who won't love and trust him. Such activities actually breed rebellion. It's Satan's kingdom that operates upon imposed rules and inflicted punishments. That's why all the kingdoms of the world, Jesus said, belong to Satan. His kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. So Jesus is telling us that since John the Baptist began preaching, and the true kingdom of God that Jesus was bringing and revealing that would operate within the hearts of men, remember Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you,
right.
That since he started bringing the kingdom of truth, love, and freedom, violent men, humans who embrace Satan's system of imposed laws and coercive force, those people have been trying to take control of the gospel, meaning violent men who use imposed laws and inflicted punishments have tried to take the Christian message away from Christ and represent it as if the Christian message worked like human governments. And sadly, they've succeeded to a great degree.
Yes.
You see, we are in a war. And we are in a battlefield, and the battlefield is for hearts and minds and what types of people we become by the principles that we practice. Jesus fought this war in person when he was here 2,000 years ago, and he won every battle that he was in, and the violent people could not take his kingdom from him. He wrested control of this planet away from Satan by fulfilling God's law of truth, love, and freedom, and how he carried out his ministry. But since his ascension, the same principles are to be carried forth by his followers. As the Father sent me, so send I you. We're to take Christ and the methods of God's kingdom to the world, but violent men continue to try to replace the true gospel message with a fraudulent Roman view of Roman law, Roman power, coercive force under the guise of Christianity.
Now, Dr. Jennings, doesn't the Bible say for us to put on the whole armor of God and a shield? I mean, we're supposed to weaponize ourselves, according to what I read in the Bible.
Yes, and if you look at what those weapons are, it's the helmet of salvation, the sword of truth, which is the word of God. So you wield the word, and you wield it to free hearts and minds. It's the breastplate of righteousness. So you live righteously, and you don't do evil. And so it's using the metaphor of armor that protects your heart, mind, and character from being corrupted by the lies, selfishness, and methods of God's enemy. So you have to go past the metaphorical to the actual and what the metaphors describe. And so back to this issue, though, in Christianity, there has been violent men seeking to co-opt the Christian message and teach that God's kingdom runs like a Roman state, an authoritarian power monger who makes up rules and uses power, and therefore it's righteous to raise armies and go on crusades. It's righteous to coerce people with imprisonment. It's righteous to burn people at the stake if they don't believe the way, because we have to punish evil, and it's righteous to do so. But Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against his true church that was built upon him, the rock. He is the rock. The church is built upon him. Now, that's an interesting expression in warfare. Think about gates in warfare. Gates of hell will not prevail. Do you ever see people riding into battle carrying gates?
No.
No, but Jesus used this imagery, and that's because he understood this battle was for hearts and minds.
Yes.
And Satan's lies and deceptions have infected hearts and minds so that people have become filled with fear and selfishness, and their minds have been closed to the true gospel message, and they're hidden behind gates of tradition, gates of lies, gates of fear, gates of bad theology. And so in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, listen to these words about how we wage war. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, those gates of hell. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to Jesus Christ. So notice that our weapons are able to break through the lies, the confusion, the fear, the distortions, and restore the true knowledge of God, which is the central issue in the war that has been misrepresented by the violent who want to claim that God is a violent God who wants to harm people for doing wrong.
Are you suggesting that I go onto Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or wherever, and my goal should be to demolish people that don't believe God the way I believe God?
So it's interesting how you said that. You actually took the idea of demolishing arguments and pretensions that are opposed to the knowledge of God, and you rephrase it as demolishing people. That's what you said. Should I go on there and demolish people?
People, okay. We're not supposed to do that.
We're not interested in demolishing people. We're interested in saving people, freeing people, healing people.
Yes.
So if you were a doctor and somebody was infected with some infectious disease, say anthrax or Ebola, and you had a treatment, you would want to go in and you would want to demolish the patient?
No, the disease.
The disease, that's right. And the lies about God and the distortions about him are a virus of the mind, like a computer software virus, that infects our thinking and motivating patterns of living that cause us to be self-destructive and destructive of others around us. And we have weapons of truth, love, and freedom that are designed to counter the lies, fear, and selfishness to free people from Satan's grasp so they can live in God's kingdom. So the divine weapons of truth demolish lies. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, Jesus said. The divine weapon of love demolishes fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, 1 John 4:18. And these are the weapons that we wield in our Christian warfare, and thus we follow Jesus' instructions. We do not react like the world reacts and attack to seek to destroy people who disagree with us. Instead, we, quote, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
My. I'm just so reminded of what you said earlier, that Jesus came and he demolished Satan and his hold on this earth.
It says he destroyed him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, Hebrews 2:14.
Wow. And the only person that died on that was Christ. He healed people that had been attacked by his own disciples. He healed them.
We can never win the war for God's kingdom by embracing and practicing the methods of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We can win people to love only if we seek to love them and apply God's methods. But you cannot win people to love by seeking to control them, dominate them, punish them, or destroy them. You will only incite them to rebellion against you. So we move forward as Christians in Christian warfare by presenting the truth as we understand it in love while leaving other people free to decide for themselves.
That's kind of hard, Dr. Jennings, from time to time, because we may not see the results of our labor for some time. We wonder, did I get through to that person? How do you handle that when you try to talk to a patient and that patient just doesn't seem to get it?
Our responsibility is to plant the seeds of truth as a farmer plants the seeds. Mm-hmm. Our responsibility is not to bring the rain, not the Holy Spirit, or to cause the seed to grow. That's the work of God. Our responsibility is to the best of our ability, plant the seeds of truth and leave it free, because the soil is the soil of the heart, and the person may harden their heart. And even though we're planting good seed, it's going into rocky soil. That's not our responsibility, because we can't change hearts. And so people often do struggle because they try to create outcomes that are not within their domain of responsibility, rather than focusing on being truth and light bearers. We are lights to the world. We are not the agency of change of other people's hearts. But I want to say something else along this idea of Christian warfare.
Yeah.
And that is, as we are advancing in battle, it's typically the forces that take the initiative that get to set the stage and get to often dictate the terms of the engagement. And one of the things that I think many people fall into today is to allow the godless world to set the landscape, the arena, the stage for the engagement. And the Christian community is reacting to what the godless are doing rather than keeping their eyes fixed on Christ and advancing God's kingdom as God would have it advanced. You know, when COVID swept the world and the fear messaging, mind manipulation, and coercive tactics were employed, did the Christian organization stand for the principles of truth, love, and liberty of conscience, leaving people free to make the decision in governance of themselves and their family that the Holy Spirit would lead them? Or did many collude with the narratives and direct their organizations to put pressure on to coerce people? Mm-hmm. When greed-driven corporations and power-hungry politicians divide society based on race and sex, gender, or any other identity issue, does the church fall into the trap of seeking to prove to the world how inclusive we are and start having sensitivity trainings for their members and their organization and prove that we can include all identity groups that the world identifies? Or does the church keep its focus on Christ and the principles of God's kingdom and recognize that in God's kingdom and how he sees the world, there's only two divisions, the righteous and the wicked, the sheep and the goat, the wheat and the tares, and that only by accepting Jesus do we move from the lost camp to the saved camp, and that what God values is not race, ethnicity, sex, nationality, tribe, language, marital status, vax status. What God values is character. Do we look like God in that we are people of integrity, honesty, loyalty, faithfulness? We love God. We love others. We practice his method of truth and we leave other people free. Or do we look like his enemy, where we will justify for a good cause using coercive force on people, even justifying imprisoning and killing people to advance our cause?
This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Dr. Jennings has joined us via Skype. Dr. Jennings, thank you so much for sharing with us today. You have made a difference in lives, I can tell you.
Thank you, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.